Hey, this is Troy from Planet 76. We've got some really good Sixers-focused content coming your way today. Make sure you subscribe to the pod so you can be in the know when we release new content. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to Planet 76. My name is Michael. Troy's back with me as well. We are slowly but surely getting back to the podcast. Troy and I have had some things going on recently. We haven't recorded as much as we would have liked. Thankfully and luckily, the All-Star break kind of saved us a little bit. So the All-Star break is over. The Sixers are back, and so are we. So make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast, as usual. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. I guess it's called X now.
No,
who calls it X?
The only person I've ever heard call it X is my wife. And I like, what are you talking about?
Well, either way.
Every time.
Yeah, that's it. Troy,
she didn't even hear me.
Us?
She's like right here.
Anything on?
I wish she would have heard me.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, brief hiatus from the NBA, but you know, a little break for the podcast never hurt anybody either. So we're back. Sixers were in action tonight against the Knicks. First game back from the break. Fell at home to the Knicks for the second time this year, 110-96. It was a brutal first half. I think it was they had a 26-point lead. I don't know what they went into the break with. It might have been 26, but I know for a fact they had a 26-point lead at some point. And then Sixers somehow, some way, clawed back into it, cut it all the way down to six, and were very much within striking distance in the fourth. And Knicks just made a few more shots and, you know, pulled away in the back half of the fourth quarter and got the 110-96 victory over the Sixers. So we'll certainly get into that one. I mean, gosh, we haven't even talked about Kyle Lowry. He had his first game tonight. So we'll talk about that. And I mean, it's the stretch run. Playoffs are, you know, in just 2 months. It seems like it's even quicker than that, but still 2 months away. But a crucial time for the Sixers as they continue to drop some games. We'll talk about the impact that that has. But why don't we start with the first game back? Again, I think you have to like the fight you saw from the Sixers, but to fall short 110-96, your thoughts on the loss to the Knicks?
Unfortunately, kind of expected. For really a plethora of reasons, the Knicks have been on fire as of late. Ever since they traded for OG Anunoby, they've just been playing so, so well on both ends of the floor. Sixers not having Embiid, that's pretty much a given. Especially against a team like the Knicks, as talented as the Knicks, as hot as the Knicks have been, and a team in the Sixers who kind of the opposite of the Knicks in terms of physicality and bringing it each night on the court. The Sixers have problems with physicality. This has been the case for as long as I can remember, really. And the Knicks don't. The Knicks are, I don't know how you really measure physicality. I know you can probably measure it in a bunch of different ways, but the Knicks check all the boxes when it comes to physicality every single night on both ends of the floor. Teams have problems dealing with that. And the Sixers, shorthanded tonight, definitely had problems dealing with that. Tyrese Maxey at 35. I don't think anyone else scored over 15 points tonight. A lot of that having to do with the Knicks defense. I'm sure a lot of that to do with the All-Star break too. Guys just coming back to the court for the first time, probably some of them. But not a great win. I'm sorry, not a great game at all, really. And just a lot of the Sixers moving forward is going to be a lot of the same. It's how do they look against this team without Embiid? Not so much of do they win, because they're not going to be doing a ton of winning without Embiid. Shocker, I know. But how are they looking? Are they keeping things competitive? And kind of like what Troy alluded to a few minutes ago, yeah, I mean, to a degree, they did keep things competitive, at least in the end of this game. They were down by, I think their largest deficit was 26 points tonight at halftime.
Yeah.
26. Oh, my gosh. But it's going to be a measure of what do they look like? Are they keeping things close? Are they at least showing signs of life and not rolling over and just like dying? Are they keeping it not even that close, but are they staying competitive? Are they still staying in the game and still giving it as much of a chance, or you know, giving themselves as much of a chance to win as they can? Those kind of things are more accurate of measuring what the Sixers are actually doing.
Yeah, you're actually you're kind of flowing right into a question that I had for you tonight, and we did not even plan that. That's beautiful. Because again, they don't have Embiid. We don't have Embiid for the foreseeable future. Yeah. We know the struggle that has already led to, because the Sixers were, and it pains me to say, it's going to pain your ears, listener, to hear this, but the Sixers were 29-13. They are now 32-23. All right. 29-13. You couldn't have ever have thought that they were going to fall, to just 9 games over 500 after being at that position.
No.
And it's not like there's a light at the end of the tunnel right now, either. And there is some good news. You know, there were some guys that were really banged up pre All-Star break who are now back. Tobias Harris, you know, in the lineup. They're pretty much full force except for Embiid, and Robert Covington's still out. He's going to be out for a while, I think it seems. So, Kyle Lowry made his debut. Campaign's getting some action. Buddy Hield's getting action. Ricky Council's been playing, although a little less tonight. But, it's just interesting. I mean, there was a lineup tonight where we saw Tyrese Maxey on the floor with Kyle Lowry and Campaign. Didn't think I'd see that. Not sure I'll see that again. I don't know. But they did go very small tonight. So, all that being said, and before we get into the standings and talk about, all right, this is where we're at, but like, what can this do? This is really where you were kind of already feeding into, but what can the Sixers do to weather the storm without Embiid? Now, you know, you mentioned it's not always going to mean wins, but like, they got to start winning a little bit, you know, more than they are. And how can they? What's the answer? Is there an answer? Yeah.
I don't know, man. I really don't know. They have a very tough stretch of games. The Knicks was the beginning. They have Cavaliers tomorrow, Bucks, Celtics.
Oh, good Lord.
They get their first win. Like, their next win might be March 1st against the Hornets. I don't see them beating the Cavs. Although, let's pause there for a second. They almost beat the Cavs last week.
We did.
I guess it was not last week. It was...
We did beat them.
No, wasn't it last Tuesday?
Yeah.
They did. Okay, so there's some hope there. There's some hope beating the Cavs tomorrow at 7:30. But then they play the Bucks on Sunday. They got the Celtics on Tuesday. That's in Boston. Then after the Hornets, they have the Mavericks. Nets should be an easy win. Grizzlies should be an easy win. Pelicans come to town. I see them losing. They play the Knicks again twice in a row and the Bucks again. Wow. Why?
Wow, it is tough.
So, I mean, I could see them winning from anywhere from 1, 2, 3 of their next 4 of their next like 10 games. So if they go 4-6 in the next three weeks,
that might be like that,
which is honestly not bad. I'm okay with that, because again, if they beat teams they should, Hornets, Nets, Grizzlies, maybe Cavs, that'd be cool. Yeah. Maybe Mavericks, because they did
play them
keep
well.
Things close to the Mavericks a few weeks ago. What day was that? What was the date of that game? It was beginning of February. It was February 5th. I mean, they lost by 16, but that was a close game. Trust me, I was there. I was watching the game in person. It was a close game until the end, until Luka
That's
got
right.
on
you
fire.
You got some nuggets out of that game, too.
Yeah. I forgot.
You didn't cash in.
Every time they do the Nuggets thing, Every time they do the Nuggets thing, I forget about it the next day. Every time I get two missed free throws after the first half, I always miss. I always forget to do it because it's 10 a.m. the next day. I'm asleep.
Yeah. Maybe the Sixers are losing because you didn't cash in on those Nuggets. I don't know.
No, I don't know what it is, but no, I always forget to get the Nuggets. Man. I always get sad about that, but it's fine.
Okay, so you didn't make me feel good about the upcoming schedule.
I'm sorry, I don't feel
good. But I don't know how you could kind of swing that to make it feel good because it is tough. You know, a lot of people are. I've heard or read that the Sixers were kind of benefiting from an easy schedule at the beginning of the season. Now, there's no doubt it has gotten harder, but bigger than the schedule change is the fact that Joel Embiid's not here. Let's just keep it real. I mean, front runner for the MVP, averaging 35 points a game, and now you don't have him on the floor. It's going to be tough because, again, if we had this upcoming schedule, not to say we wouldn't lose some games, but, like, you're not going to feel the way that you do right now about having to go against the Bucks or the Cavs or the Mavs or the Celtics even. Like, you're going to lose some, sure, but I think you're going to win some more than you would without him. But we were without him, and that's the deal. Now, again, you just mentioned maybe 4-6 over the next 10 would be good. The problem is they're 3-10. We just talked about it. They're 3-10 over their last 13. If they go 3-10 over their next 13 again, we're gonna be talking play-in in a big way, which is nuts for a 29-13 team that once was. So anyway, let's regroup. Let's take a break from that for a moment, and let's talk Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry played tonight. He got rocked in the forehead or right above the eye. Yeah, it looked like by Jericho Sims. Blood everywhere. Came back in the game because that's what Philly guys do, I guess. Speaking of Philly guys, it was a Villanova reunion. You had DiVincenzo, Brunson, Kyle Lowry on the Sixers, and then Josh Hart, obviously, with the Knicks, too, playing in Philly. But I was encouraged by what I saw from Kyle Lowry tonight. Not that we're going to get exactly that every night, but your thoughts on what he could even bring to some stability for this team right now.
I definitely, the more I've thought about the Lowry thing, the more I'm not, I don't love it. I still don't love Kyle Lowry. I like him a lot for this team because he helps them a lot. He gives them a guy outside of Maxey who you can trust with the ball in his hands. He's not going to give you big points, but he is going to make really good decisions with the ball in his hands. Yep. He's a really good passer still. If you can get that three-point shooting from him, that'd be great. I think he's 38% on five attempts the past couple of years, 37%. Even though that's right around league average, it's still very good because you're still getting a very reliable floor spacer at the guard position, and that's valuable. Especially with his old age, you want, and I mean that respectfully, of course, but you want a guy... You want a guy at that age to be able to bring whatever he can. So if you're getting that three-point shooting, that floor spacing, that's awesome. That's something that you can maybe not rely on, but something that you can game plan for. Hey, Kyle, you're 37% the past couple months from three. You know, let's get you some more touches. Let's get you some more shots. So a guy in Lowry who can make decision, who can reliably make decisions with the ball in his hands, pass the ball very well, they kind of go hand in hand. Go and get, hit shots. Hit threes off the catch, off the dribble, create his own shot from three. That's valuable. So I do like what he brings. I do like that veteran-esque leadership quality that a lot of people talk about when it comes to older players. He does bring a lot of that. He's been around the league a lot. He's been on multiple teams in a ton of different situations, playing with a ton of different players. He knows the league. So more guidance for Maxey, more guidance even for a guy like Ricky Council. Who knows? He's on a two-way, but the way things are trending, he could get a full contract from the Sixers and he could reliably get minutes. So all of that to say that Lowry is more a plus than anything for the roster, for the culture of the players, just what he brings offensively. I'm not sure how much he has left defensively, left in the tank defensively, but what he brings you offensively and then anything he brings defensively is a plus, in my opinion. I'm kind of treating him like he's a crippled, like, 90-year-old man, but he is 37. He's been dealing with injury, so I want to tread lightly on stepping foot on the Kyle Lowry train.
Yeah.
I just want to be as neutral as possible, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. And I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Kyle Lowry being a plus, he was the only guy on the Sixers with a positive plus minus tonight in his
debut.
25 minutes. He's only a plus four, but still, you know, you had guys in the lineup that were minus 15 on the night. So 25 minutes, 5 of 7 from the field. 11 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, you know, just impacted the game. And it was really kind of odd, at least from my perspective. Like, when we've had series with the Heat, you know, I've kind of grown to not be fond of Kyle Lowry. You go back to 2019, you wasn't fond of Kyle Lowry when he was with the Raptors.
No.
Like, you go in a playoff series against someone for 7 games, you're not going to like them as a fan. And so it was really weird tonight to see him kind of doing some of those things that you grew fond of, really getting amped up about disliking him. And now he's doing them in a Sixers uniform. I was so, like, lost. I was like, wait a minute. Like, I'm like, kind of starting to like this guy, and he's only been in the lineup 5 minutes. You know, there was one moment when Josh Hart got a technical, and you could see Kyle Lowry was, like, egging on the ref to give it to him. And had he done that in another uniform against the Sixers, I would have been yelling at him, like, dude, like, shut up, like, stop. And then now he's doing it for us, and I love it. So kind of weird there, but I agree. I think that he can bring something. He played significantly more minutes than campaign tonight. I don't know that that's always going to continue, but, I mean, he was better tonight, and so he, you know, Nick Nurse decided to play that hot hand. You know, he missed extended time before the All-Star break, so he hadn't played in, like, a month, probably, and played 25 minutes tonight and gave the Sixers a really good effort. So, like to see that from Kyle Lowry. Now, Eastern Conference standings is starting to get a little scary to look at. Okay, so you have the Sixers at 32-23. They're a game and a half back of the Knicks, who are the 4 seed. Sixers, Knicks, if the playoffs started today, would be the 4-5 matchup, and they would get to face the Boston Celtics in the second round. Not to get too ahead of ourselves. But then you got the Cavs at 2, Bucks at 3. But the Cavs, Bucks, Knicks, and Sixers are only separated by four and a half games. And, you know, I guess the good news, if you're on that train that the Sixers might lose a lot of games upcoming, the good news is that if they were to fall all the way out of the playoffs, out of the play-in even, the Brooklyn Nets are the 11 seed. They are 21-34. So the Sixers are up 11 games on them. So if they go from 29-13 to all the way out of the playoffs, that would be one of the most historic drops of a team ever. So I don't think we have to worry that much to that extent, but the play-in is potentially there because the Sixers are only a game and a half up on the Orlando Magic, who are at 7 seed. Yeah. Indiana is at 6, but a game and a half up on the Magic for the 7, who the Magic would obviously be in the play-in if the playoffs started today. That's concerning. I will say that, I mean, the team you don't want to face at any point is Boston.
No.
Because, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if Embiid's back, you know, those teams are somewhat even. You kind of want to avoid that, meaning that, like, the 3-6 matchup might be better than the 4-5, because 4-5 gets Boston in the second round. Again, we're getting way ahead, but just something to think about, right? So, why don't we do this? Like, what are your thoughts kind of on those other teams that I just mentioned that are, you know, not Boston, but Cleveland, Milwaukee, Indiana, the Knicks, and the Sixers, and how the Sixers fit into that crew?
Compared to those teams?
Yeah.
Now we're assuming health, right?
Yeah.
I'm still on the same boat I was. My What I don't know if you've noticed this, Troy. I don't know if the viewer/listener has noticed this, but I don't change my mind much. I don't change. I need a really large sample size of something to change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the new look Sixers that we saw at post James Harden trade, we haven't seen that team enough. So as of now, I'm still of the school of thought that the Sixers are the third best team in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they the fourth with, you know, are they close with the Knicks? Sure, the Knicks have gotten better. They have a much larger sample size of their new look team post their big trade. Big meaning, you know, the big trade that they made. It doesn't have to be a big trade per se, but just a big trade for their team. I think the Celtics are better than the Sixers. I still think the Bucks are better than the Sixers, despite their recent avalanche.
Outside of coaching, they might be better.
None other than Glenn Rivers, of course. But outside of coaching, yeah. But I still think they're the third best team. I think the Bucks are better. I think the Celtics are better.
Yeah.
Maybe the Knicks are better. If Embiid is back and the Knicks and Sixers play in the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised if they lose. Okay, I honestly would not.
But you're more confident against the Cavs than you would be against the Knicks, regardless.
Oh, absolutely, okay. I am.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, it's crazy that the Cavs are sitting at the 2 seed right now. Because early in the season they were talking trading Donovan Mitchell because they were struggling, mm-hmm. and you know Sixers and them have kind of flipped positions here, just based on the recent struggles, but.
Yeah,
and like you, I mean, I like the way you kind of started that answer. Was like, we're talking about health here, right? Because that,
yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. We know the Sixers' chances if Embiid's not there, and they're not good. They're not good to win a round. It doesn't look like, right? I mean, yeah. I wouldn't feel good in the play-in. No. I wouldn't feel good on one game against the Magic at this point right now, and that's crazy to say. But should he return? I mean, there's an article here on ESPN. This is like, you want to talk about clickbait, because I don't believe this, and I'm a Sixers fan. It says, can the 76ers rule the East if Joel Embiid returns? Like, I don't think I'm going that far, but it's a 2.5-minute video, and it's Windhorst's face on the other side, so.
Dude, Brian Windhorst is the worst. He's... Don't get me started on him, dude. He had his one moment, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, Brian Windhorst. Everybody just fawns over Brian Windhorst. Give me a break. Give me a break. I'm good on Brian Windhorst. I'm out on Brian Windhorst.
But like, I mean, yeah, that little article title alone, now I just want to watch. See, I mean, he's getting me to watch the video.
No, that's what they want.
Don't give in.
No.
You're right.
No.
You're right. I won't watch. I might watch. Just because, like, I mean, again, I'm a fan, and, like,
oh my gosh.
I don't believe that at all. Like, now, what, you know, if it said, can the Sixers have a better shot in the playoffs if Joel Embiid returns? Like, maybe, obviously, that's too obvious of an article. But
I would,
like,
watch that, though.
We're not, right, exactly. We're not, I don't think we're going to rule the East. It's not going to be a cakewalk. That's for certain. So, anyway, Sixers' upcoming schedule does not get easier. Cavs, Bucks, Celtics, two of which at home, one tomorrow night on ESPN against the Cavs, and then Sunday afternoon against the Bucks, and then on the road, all national TV games, ESPN, ABC, and TNT, Cavs, Bucks, Celtics upcoming. Speaking of the Celtics, though, since we got to pick on them for something, I don't know if you saw Jaylen Brown in the dunk contest.
I didn't even watch the dunk contest. I legitimately don't care about All-Star Weekend anymore.
You should watch Jaylen Brown's performance.
I saw a few dunks, and they were not good.
It was bad. It was bad. He was getting booed.
Oh my gosh.
He did. I mean, obviously, the joke with him is that he can't dunk, or he can't dribble left-handed, and he pulled out a glove and dunked it. Just a simple in-game dunk left-handed. He jumped over that YouTuber, Kai, whatever.
Yeah.
Who was sitting down. Meanwhile, Mac McClung jumps over Shaquille O'Neal.
Mac McClung is just a
standing
beast,
straight
bro.
Up. Like, that's... It was embarrassing. I texted my... I mean, obviously, because we're anti-Celtics, I texted my friend that morning. I was like, I really hope Jaylen Brown struggles today, like, in the dunk contest. Not like, he did. Not like ill, whatever feelings, no. But like, just, I just hope he doesn't play well, perform right. well. And he did not. It was bad. He was getting booed. And it was to the point where I was like, almost sorry. And I, it was bad
a little bit for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Oh
so
my gosh. That
was, but it was good to see in the end. It was so, so bad. Anyway. And the judges were terrible because, like, he somehow made it to the finals even though he shouldn't have. It
oh, was, the judges always stink.
That's true. Yeah, I might be boycotting All-Star Weekend with you as well, so next year. Anyway, anything else from you regarding Sixers? This is episode 133, first time we've had a full-length episode in a while. And, yeah, anything?
I got nothing. I'm just a lot of feelings of what's going on. Are we gonna be in the play-in? What's gonna happen? Is Joel Embiid gonna come back? Everybody's saying, "Oh, there's optimism he might return." Okay, there is optimism that he might return, but how much optimism? What is the level of optimism? Obviously, it's still a little too early to tell because we're still not even a few weeks out from his surgery, his procedure. But how much optimism is there? I don't know. I'm nervous about that. I'm not very nervous about that. So, a lot of questions of what's going on. How is this team going to be the next couple weeks? Like you kind of said earlier, how much can they win? Are they going to win any games? How many games are they going to win? But the age old, tale of how time will tell or whatever it is, that applies. So we'll just have to wait and see. I hate to say that. I like to be conclusive, but
yeah,
I can't be. There's way too much up in the air about this team.
Yep, exactly. A lot of questions, mm-hmm. not as many answers for sure. Reminded me of just one final thought. Yeah. I'll give out there is. I was thinking about this the other day. Obviously, post All-Star break, you start thinking playoffs. That's all anybody's looking forward to. It's like this regular season is long. Let's get to some real, truly meaningful games in the playoffs. And regarding where the Sixers sit when they get there, if they avoid the play-in, that's huge, obviously. But if regardless of where else, 2 through 6, let's say they avoid the play-in. I don't care, right? Embiid's health is number one important. Yeah. And so who really cares where they land? And another reason I say that is because as a Sixers fan, like, we've been everywhere. We've been the one seed. We've been the three. We've been the five. We've been the six. We've been the, and it hasn't worked. So, like, who cares, right? You don't have to be the one seed to go far. We've seen Miami do it. If Embiid's back and we're the sixth seed and Embiid is 100% healthy, I would take that today. Right?
Yes.
And I think you would too, right? Yes. Doesn't matter what seed we are, as long as he's right. So,
yes.
Anyway, that's a wrap on episode 133 of Planet 76. Lots of Sixers action upcoming over the next few days post All-Star break with some difficult opponents coming up, but we'll see how the Sixers weather the storm, and we'll be back in a few days for episode 134. Woo. We'll see you next time.